from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there, and welcome to the re-wrap for Wednesday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and this morning it's all fish and chips now, in terms of the national leadership, I think. Equal sports coverage for the ladies. Not advertising on Facebook, on moral grounds, even if you're a drug company. And we'll finish up with, what are we going to finish up with? I can't remember. We'll get to it when we get to it. It's fallen off the end of my list. It's just fallen off. There's so much in this podcast that didn't fit in the little box that it's supposed to fit in. But let's talk about who the next leader might be for National.
We can rule Coleman out. I think he lacks personality. Say whatever you want about policy and expertise and brains and experience. It's the X factor you want top of your list of criteria. Collins is my kind of operator. She's self-assured, articulate, can be funny by being acerbic, doesn't suffer fools, has a good track record, wouldn't die wondering. She's divisive, though, but then so am I, hasn't held me back. Bridges looks good, speaks funny, though. Mind you, so does Bill English. But he's bright and knowledgeable, widely seen as competent. Maori, which has to help. Provincial, which has to help. Adams, I think we can rule out, very competent, but she doesn't reek of leader to me, sort of like McKinnon or Cullen never did. Bennett, we can definitely rule out. She's blamed for the Winston debacle. And that, by the way, is another thing they must not get trapped into. If they think they need someone to suck up to Winston, forget it. He hates them. He was never going with them. He's retiring, and his party will be over in a couple of years when he finally does go. He's not their worry. The next election is. Which is the other good point of English leaving. It gives the new person 3 full years to basically make things happen. Anyway, back to names. Mitchell, that's a bit out of left field. Strikes me as a bit new. Bit unknown. So really, you can only got a couple of names there of what you would call sensible, realistic prospects. Bridges or Collins? I'd take Collins, and then I'd take a seat and watch the sparks fly.
Yeah, so Collins, she's definitely thrown her hat into the ring this morning, of course. Stephen Joyce on this program also seemed to be saying he was looking at the numbers. We'll see how that goes. Of course, Mike's been thinking all about this since he was waiting for the fish and chips yesterday.
I was listening to Hooten outside the fish and chip shop because our dinner went wrong, because we went down to go to the cafe, and we normally walk to go to the cafe, but we took the car because it was raining, but there were no parks for the car. So then we went down to the other one, down the other end of the road, and they were closed. And suddenly we had no dinner. And we thought, what the hell are we going to do now?
And so that's what I'd do.
The answer was fish and chips. So I sat there listening to Hooten outside, sent the missus in for the fish and chips. I said, I'm listening to Lazar on the radio. So I sent the missus in for the fish and chips. Anyway, so Hooten was saying that if Collins is going to run, she's got to go quick. In other words, she's got to come out today and go, it's on, and she will, from that move, get momentum. I don't think he might have something in that. Mind you, Hooten was also saying, because fish and chips took quite a long time to cook, Hooten was also saying that Bill English has no legacy, and I think that's fundamentally wrong and unfair. And that's before, do not get me started on what Winston Peters did to Bill English yesterday, anyway.
Did the missus come back to the car to wait, or did she wait in the fish and chip shop with everybody else?
She came, it's an interesting thing you should say that.
It's just an interesting little mental image for me.
What given happened was, that, she came back, and after a few minutes,
You weren't dressed for fish and chips, were you?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't remotely dressed for fish and chips. But
And her?
I don't know, I think she was in athletic gear, but she looks good in athletic gear. You've seen her in athletic gear, she can go anywhere. She could go to Ducasse at the Dorchester in athletic gear, but I said to her, go now, they'll be ready. And she goes, no, they won't be. I said, no, go now, because you don't want them cold. There's nothing worse than cold fish and chips. I said, go now. So she goes, and then the text comes through, she goes, they're not ready. So then she didn't come back to the car because she's ropeable with me, see? So things turned ugly from there.
My point was, I don't know if Mike was picking up on this. I just don't know if your average fish and chip shop operator is expecting Kate Hawksby to walk in and order some, and just sort of hang around there looking like Kate Hawksby. Do you know what I mean? Or have I got that wrong? We're just all the same in New Zealand, aren't we? We're just all the same. That's why we should have as many ladies as gentlemen on the sports, right? On TV. You know what I'm talking about.
Coverage costs money. Someone somewhere has to foot the bill. And they foot the bill on the broad understanding that the coverage will attract ears or eyes, in other words, audience. And it's the audience that pays for the people who gather the detail in the first place through subs or tickets or advertising. Women's sport does not attract the ears and eyes and the bums on seats that men's sport does. The women's rugby here, no one doubts they are brilliant. They are world champions. But go back to that world tournament last year. Go back to that. Look at the stands. Look at the empty seats. Look at the ratings. The event was on for all to see and participate in, and sadly, rightly or wrongly, not many did. It's not like there isn't women's sport. It's not like there isn't high-quality women's sport. But you can't force an audience to turn up to something they don't want to watch. And I don't think it's a sexist thing either. I mean, if Valerie's winning gold, I'm there. If Lisa's winning gold, I'm there. If the Silver Ferns ever beat Australia again, I'm there. But as un-PC as it may be to say it these days, the All Blacks is better rugby than the Black Ferns. LeBron is better than anything on the women's side of the sport. Yes, women box, but are you watching them or Parker v. Joshua? And why is that? You see, you don't even need an answer because the answer's obvious. But those who argue this is not good enough don't get that, or I suspect they don't want to get that.
It's hard, isn't it? We don't live in an ideal world, but we want to move towards an ideal world. The question is, how much can you force an ideal world on people, I suppose? It's got very philosophical, hasn't it? Now, Facebook. Some companies have decided not to advertise on Facebook until they shape up.
Congratulations to Unilever internationally, who overnight have said, look, they're one of the biggest digital advertisers in the world. You're talking about billions of dollars worth of advertising. They've gone to Facebook and YouTube and they said, look, unless you guys get your act together on what's going on online, and you better police what they describe as a toxic online environment where the propaganda, the hate speech, and all that disturbing content and exploiting the children, where all of that thrives, unless you get your act together on that. This is the, this was it Soros or was it Buffett? I think it was Soros who said regulation's coming and these guys have got away with it for too long, and they've all sat there with their hands in the air going, oh, it's international borders. No, no borders here. Can't do a thing about it. So Unilever, billions of dollars worth of business, and they've said to them, unless you pull your finger out, get your act together, our money's going elsewhere. And that's the sort of thing that will drive change, and not a moment too soon.
Sorry, I may have referred to Unilever as being a drug company earlier on. They're not, of course. I'm just thinking cosmetics. Because obviously cosmetic companies are much more above board and have a much higher moral standpoint than drug companies. If I seem a bit distracted, it's because it's Valentine's Day and I'm just wondering if I've done enough. You know what I mean?
We've got you covered with The Biz on the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ on Newstalk ZB.
Valentine's Day, of course, as usual, if you're planning to, go for a hot day tonight, buy some flowers, so the prices go up. In America, they've got the National Retail Federation. They've given numbers to Forbes. Only half, and this is why we need to tone ourselves down a little bit on this, only 55% of Americans actually celebrate Valentine's Day, and that's the home of, artificial commercial days, only 55%. If they dip in, they're going to spend about $196, which is up from $186 last year. In Australia, Suncorp, the finance people, they've got research showing that the uptake's even lower. It's only about 50-50 at best. Half of the people can't be bothered. But if you are going to spend in Australia, it's around $136.
Okay, $130. So I've spent $82 so far. That's just the... I've got the flowers and the card. That was $6.50. So we're up to about $88.50 there. So what have I got? Another $50-odd to go. Okay. Maybe an extra potato fritter with the fish and chips might get that up. I'm Glenn ZB, always the romantic. That was the rewrap, wrapped up in newspaper, as it turns out today. We'll see you back here again tomorrow if I survive the rest of Valentine's Day.